The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Tony Hendra, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Tony, why don't we start with a quick announcement for our many loyal violent extremist listeners?
Absolutely. I want to assure you, our many loyal violent extremist listeners, there's really nothing to see here, nothing to offend you. Absolutely not. This is a radio show. It's not a satirical magazine, so no problem there, okay? For example, if we were to hold up a cartoon right now to the mic, it would probably be a cartoon of what?
How about a kitten?
Good idea. It would probably be a cartoon of a kitten. A small ginger kitten, perhaps. Or maybe a tabby kitten. Some kind of adorable cartoon kitten, anyway. It absolutely wouldn't be a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad with his bare buttocks hanging out. Or anything like that.
Absolutely not.
Another option for a cartoon that we might theoretically hold up to the mic right now would be a delicious cupcake.
Ooh, great idea. Everyone likes cupcakes.
Exactly. Even murdering extremists love cupcakes, so that should be good. Not like if we, for example, held up a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad to pick a, for instance, at random, getting sucked off by a camel.
Or crapping in the mouth of the 77th Virgin.
Or being tied up and pissed on by a guy in a Charlie Hebdo t-shirt. Because, rest assured, violent extremist listeners, we would never do that. Or maybe we would. That, my friends, is the magic of radio.
And this is the magic of...
The Final Edition Radio Hour.
Today's money tip, gas prices will never go back up.
Look at the trend. Gas prices dropping, and that's all they're ever going
to
do.
Sell your solar panels. Trade your hybrid for an SUV. Burn your house to the ground. Burn it!
We said housing prices couldn't drop.
We said dot-coms couldn't fail.
We said buy on margin.
We said torturing prisoners was a great idea.
We said put all your money in tulips.
And now we're saying this.
Gas prices are low forever.
We're live from Downing Street, where President Barack Obama is scheduled to meet the Prime Minister, Mr. David Cameron. And here is the presidential cavalcade now.
Okay, be cool. Be cool. Be cool.
Dave, good to see you, bro.
Bro? Good to see you, bro. That's so cool. That's so laid back and super cool and casual and cool. Shit, what do I say? God, man, think. Say something cool so he thinks you're cool. Okay, be cool. I could say, yo. Is yo even cool anymore? Did it stop being cool, then get cool again in a retro hipster kind of way? I don't know. Oh, God, think. Something really cool to say to Obama. Oh, I know. I could say, what's up? That's pretty cool. What's up, Mr. President? Yo, Obama, what's up? Oh, dear God, no, absolutely not. What about how's it hanging, homie? Can I say homie? You know, is that okay? Is that racist? Homie. Why would that be racist? Homie, homie. The more I say it, the worse it sounds. You're overthinking it. You're overthinking it. Come on, just say something. How's it hanging, holler, what's up, bitch? What is wrong with me? He's just standing there all cool and calm with his good to see you, bro, and his hand stretched out. Oh, God, his hand stretched out. How long has his hand been stretched out for? Shake the man's hand. Shake it. That's right. Now say something. Just say something. Anything. Say something. Say,
good morrow, my dear sir. Prithee, how fares thee today?
Yes. Very nice one. Very good.
And now the final edition radio hour takes you to the exact moment where Fox and Friends has a complete meltdown.
And I'm sure you've heard about this. At the Paris Unity Rally the other day, no member of the Obama administration was represented there.
And that's wrong, because a leader should be everywhere in America.
Oh, no, Elizabeth. Paris is in France.
Yes, and Obama was a no-show at this rally against terrorism.
But we hate the French.
Yes, but can you believe Obama would ignore a rally against terrorism? What, is he a terrorist?
But aren't we not supposed to support the French? Why would he go to France? We hate France.
By God, she's right. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is right.
Oh, my God.
France is bad. So bad.
But if we say Obama did the right thing by not supporting the French, we are supporting Obama.
Everybody calm down.
I hate the French, so that means I like what Obama did. And if I don't like what Obama did, I like the French.
I don't know who I am anymore.
Everybody calm down. Let me think. Let me think.
Oh, my brain hurts.
Why aren't we supporting Nigeria after their terrorist massacre? Why doesn't that hold the same precedent as the attack in Paris? Oh, my God, I don't know what I'm saying.
France, bad. Obama, bad. Obama, good. France, good. Zsa Zsa Gabor?
I'll end all of you. I'll end every last one of you.
I'm a liberal. I'm a liberal.
maybe Whoopi and Rosie were right.
Don't you say that. Don't you ever! I'll kill you with my rights!
Woo! Steve Doocy is nude! And alive! Liberal and alive! Fox News is a sham!
We would take you to Bill O'Reilly's meltdown, but he just stared into space for the entire program.
Coming this fall from all three networks, it's the second season of Coppophilia. Yet another searing drama about Americans' crazy, incomprehensible, but unending love affair with cops. Woody Harrelson stars as patrolman Lenny Lizardbrain Lynch, yet another itchy-fingered, overweight, psychopathic teddy bear of a guy the whole world loves. Lenny spends his day fighting crime when there isn't any, solving it in a hair-trigger hail of 9mm slugs, thus appointing himself judge, jury, and executioner. A one-man justice system, and always emerging as everybody's hero.
Hey, you! Hold it right there!
Copy. What? I gotta get my car and take my wife to the hospital.
Hands on the car, motherfucker.
Why? My wife's in labor.
Tell you why, dirtbag. I'm protecting the community from black-on-black crime.
There's no crime going on here.
I don't know that, do I? You're fucking black. You could be a potential perp. You could be a potential victim.
I'm neither.
There is no neither. Every black male is one or the other.
Bullshit! I'm getting my car.
You terrify me. You seem to have the strength of 10 men. Are you going for my gun? I fear for my life.
Are you performing for your video camera?
By removing you from the equation...
Put the fucking gun away, asshole.
I'm helping drive crime rates to historic lows in your community.
Coppophilia, the series that brings you the heartwarming inside story of the brave men and occasional deluded female who spend the vast majority of their lives sitting in a car with flashing lights on top, working hard at developing really humongous buttocks, and occasionally murdering someone.
Good work, Officer Lynch.
Thanks, Captain White. One less perp, one less victim equals one less crime.
And one less crime means a safer community, a happier suburban population, and way more leverage at the bargaining table. Keep this up, Lenny. You'll make lieutenant.
Nah. Thanks, Captain, but I belong on the street. I'm a people person. Just an average Joe, you know, with a Glock 9er and plenty of military-grade backup.
Oh, Lenny, you're a card. And one hell of a cop!
Coppophilia brings you everyday hero Lenny Lynch, yet another flawed but lovable version of your own collective lizard brain, in yet another slanted, repetitious, propagandistic telenarcotic series ripped from the headlines. Coming soon from yet another Craven network. Cops, you gotta love them, or else, on Coppophilia.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hi, I'd like to talk to you about one of our most cherished, protected, and inalienable rights. If you're like me, you strongly believe in freedom of speech, unless it's offensive, controversial, unpleasant, impolite, off-putting, unsuitable, irresponsible, unhelpful, anti-authoritarian, negative, pejorative, contrary, mean, sour, sarcastic, ironic, angry, furious, or satirical.
Paid for by Americans who strongly support freedom of speech as long as they don't actually have to support freedom of speech.
Hey everybody, welcome to Zen Koan Heads, the Zen Buddhist game show. It's the only show where we give you the question and you give us a direct insight into the nature of the unknowable. Let's meet our contestants. First, we have Zen Master Dashi Kodo. Dashi, what brings you to Koan Heads?
The laughter of the moonrise.
I heard that. Not. You're gonna do just great. Our second contestant is existentialist philosopher Jean-René Chagrin. Jean-René, are you excited about playing?
I am overcome with an ennui that sickens my soul.
And the universe couldn't care less. Finally, we have our constantly returning contestant, that little lady who can't seem to break the endless cycle, Belinda Clark, a homemaker from Ford City, Pennsylvania. Belinda, are you ready to play the game?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm sorry. The point is to stop playing the game. Belinda, you're starting out in negative territory.
I hate this stupid game.
That's why you can't quit. Let's get started. Hands on buzzers. Here's our first question. How does the stone flute dance? Dashi!
I did not ask you to build a fire.
That is correct. For extra points, snowfall on the mountain.
An inch of time.
Correct. Dashi, you're on a tear.
This is ridiculous. None of this makes sense.
Oh, that's exactly right. But you have to wait until I ask the question. Here goes. Next question. Tiger treads softly. Jean-René!
What? I did not hit your stupid buzzer. I despise your wretched lives. You fill me with an overwhelming sense of dread.
Ooh, let's ask the judges. Oh, I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Huh. I'm glad. It is more than wrong. It is jejun.
Oh, for the steal! Belinda!
The sky is crying?
Excuse me? No, I think that's a song by Stevie Ray Vaughan. Okay, that was weird. Now, final question. Listen carefully. The question is raspberry beret. The question again, raspberry beret.
What?
Belinda!
That's a song. Prince. The answer is Prince.
Again, no. We ask that the contestants please conduct themselves properly. Jean-René, do you want to answer?
You sicken me. I spit at you.
That is correct! Jean-René Chagrin for the win! That's all the time we have on this edition of Koan Heads. By the way, the correct answer for that last question was, if six was nine.
That's a song!
Aw, man!
Here's a fine New Year's story. Zookeepers around the country are urging people to donate their discarded Christmas trees to their local zoo. Why? Apparently they're catnip for lions.
Ah, Simba, my boy. You know the feeling when you stand on the top of Pride Rock as the sun rises, washing the plains with golden light, and your heart just feels...
Yeah, Dad.
And you realize anew that all life is connected in one giant circle that moves us all till we find our place and your heart just feels.
Totally, Dad.
And then you chew on a couple of recycled Christmas trees. And the colors of the world start to sparkle, and your mind expands, and your heart just feels.
Sorry, Dad. Mind wandered for a minute. You want to order some Domino's?
Exactly.
Two Yale scientists in a lab are exploring the math behind a poker computer.
This is amazing, Jeremy. A computer that never loses at poker. In all my years at Yale, this might be the most extraordinary piece of academic research I've ever seen.
Do you want to see the code?
Do I ever?
So, this piece of code right here, hyphen into equals val colon bracket p val bracket, etc., tells the computer when to hold. And this piece of code right here, void show underscore bytes underscore pointer bracket I bracket, etc., tells the computer when to fold.
Interesting.
And this line of code right here, float f val, etc., tells it when to walk away, metaphorically speaking, of course, and when to run.
And I expect this line of code over here tells it to never count its money while it's sitting at the table?
Oh, actually, this computer can calculate 24 billion poker hands every single second. I think it can keep a running tally of its winnings without too much difficulty.
No, I was just thinking, you gotta know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, you know?
No.
Oh, you gotta know! Know when to walk away, know when to run, that Kenny Rogers song, right?
Honestly, Susan, I'm disappointed in you. This is a serious scientific experiment, not a country music tribute.
Oh, of course. Oh, sorry.
I have almost $1 million in grant money for this project. This is the cutting edge, the bleeding edge of academia.
Sorry, Jeremy.
Do you think Stephen Hawking ever has this problem? Do you think people in Cambridge ever look at his work about stars and go, oh, that's great. That serious work that took years of research is basically Rocket Man! Rocket Man! No, because they have some respect. God, Susan, I would have never thought this of you.
Oh, you're so right, Jeremy.
Never count your money when you're sitting at the table. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
We start our broadcast today with a correction. Last week we played a video from a birthday party at the White House for the president's youngest daughter, Sasha. Let's show that tape again.
Kill the cops! Kill the cops! Kill the cops!
I don't know if you could hear it there, but there was a part where it sounded like the girls at the party were chanting, kill the cops.
Well, it turns out they did not actually chant that at the party.
Right, though obviously someone did.
Somewhere.
The lamestream media doesn't want to focus on that.
No, but apparently they did not actually chant that at the White House at Sasha's birthday party.
And somehow that chanting from some other tape made its way onto our tape.
It's a completely honest misunderstanding.
Let's play the tape again.
Kill the cops! Kill the cops!
Just a reminder, the tape we just played is, in fact, completely inaccurate, and Fox News regrets the error.
Though it does beg the question, who actually was chanting, kill the cops?
Which brings up another clarification. We actually do know where the chanting came from. It turns out it was performed and produced right here at Fox as part of a production, sort of a documentary, but not based on fact.
Yes, it was merely intended to be part of a fact-based TV segment about people chanting, kill the the cops at Sasha Obama's birthday party.
Let's play it again.
Kill the cops! Kill the cops! Kill the cops!
And let me remind you one more time that video of people chanting kill the cops at Sasha Obama's birthday party did not actually happen.
Kill the cops!
And it will be available on our website for anyone who wants to see what did not happen.
Coming up, a Democratic congressman wants to outlaw heterosexuality. Did we make up the story? We report, you decide.
New for 2014, the Ford Dodge Heavy 2-ton Hump Truck. Hump the forest. Hump those wildlife. Hump the planet. Guzzle that gas. Hump the global warming pussies. Hump that pussy cyclist.
Remember, speed kills.
Guaranteed to enlarge the average penis 4 to 6 inches. So you can hump the whole wide world. Hump those losers. Show your buddies who's boss.
Please drink responsibly. Do not attempt this maneuver.
The Ford Dodge Heavy 1-ton Hump Truck. You want one. You know you want one.
No human male should be allowed to operate this vehicle.
Call your tri-state Ford Dodge Heavy dealer. Do it now.
Ford Dodge Heavy is not liable for injury or fatality purchasers of this vehicle inflicted on themselves or others. Manufacturer is aware of conclusive research showing cars and trucks to be the single most stupid and lethal form of mass transportation, causing death, acute death, sudden death, slow lingering death, death by water, fire, ice, cliff, tree, and road rage, amputation, brain damage, limb loss, head loss, child loss, organ failure, quadriplegia, obesity, asthma, 48 forms of terminal cancer, acute pedestrian fatality, eco Armageddon, intergalactic greenhouse gas effect, and bourgeois complacency. But manufacturers will have no liability for the effects of operating this vehicle on or off roads, bridges, tunnels, dead ends, beaches, rivers, lakes, outside or inside malls, supermarkets, box stores, hotels, banks, restaurants, churches, temples, casinos, schools, daycare centers, or saloons.
You own a lethal weapon. Now drive a lethal weapon.
Oh my God! Please, slow down! Oh!
Out of my way, pussy!
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hi, this is Tony Hendra. Last month, while dining with my old pal, Terry Jones, that's the Monty Python Terry Jones, not the mustachioed, Koran-burning bigot from Florida, I met two very funny and unusual young men. Goodisman and Ju, that's J-O-O, Kyung Ki Ju is Korean, belong to a rarefied and splendid tradition which includes, amongst others, Victor Borger and Dudley Moore, classical musicians with an abiding and glorious irreverence about classical music. They passed through New York this week, and I jumped at the chance to get to know them better.
I'm here with Kyung Ki Ju. Is that correct?
Pretty close. Yeah? Kyung Ki.
Kyung Ki.
Yeah.
Okay. And Alexei, I can't say your last
Alexei
name.
Alexei Igudesman.
Igudesman. How would you guys describe yourselves in two words or less?
Well, we're musicians. We are classically trained. And we also love comedy and theater.
I think a tagline could be Mozart meets Monty Python.
Okay.
Or South Park
Mozart
meets
Python.
Bach.
Yeah.
South Park meets Bach. Something like this. I mean, we...
South Bach.
South Bach meets Park.
Yes.
No, just South Park.
So in other words, it's either Mozart Python or South Park.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
And two words. You could have said that right at
yeah,
the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
saved
yeah,
us
now
a lot
we
of
know.
Time.
Yeah. Now, you learn something every day.
You learn,
today
we learn every day.
Right.
I mean, basically, we are passionate musicians. We love music. Essentially, we are, in our hearts, we are musicians. But we're also very passionate about humor and about the theater. Why we separate theater and humor is because they're two different things.
Let's just ask the obvious question,
yes.
Which is that for most people, classical music is incredibly serious, right? For many, it's incredibly dull. Not for me, luckily. Mm-hmm. But it is a very serious pursuit, and it is pursued seriously. What do you feel you draw out of classical music that's comedic?
So all this kind of elitist ceremony that surrounds classical music and
right.
classical musicians, that just has absolutely nothing to do with the music.
It's entirely redundant, actually, in many ways, because the music itself, it can be serious, but often it's not, if you think of Mozart, of Beethoven. Just because it's presented in such stiflingly serious manners these days.
It wasn't like that at the time.
Exactly.
Like
That's why people think it's serious. But actually, there's so much humor. There's humor in Bach. There's humor in Haydn, especially, in Mozart and Beethoven. Basically, at the time, the practice of performing at the time was much more open than these days. At the time of Mozart and Beethoven, people used to play separate movements, they used to chat in between, they used to tell sometimes jokes, for example.
Well, Mozart would improvise cadenzas.
There was a famous letter from Mozart to his dad, said, "My God, I just played the first theme for my new concerto, they loved it so much, they applauded so much, we had to start again, like a rock concert." If these days, if you start applauding in the middle of a symphony, they'll shoot you.
Oh, yeah.
Probably in the concert hall. In Texas, they'll shoot you. But, certainly this is something we are really trying to change, because in our performances, when we go out as Igudasman and Jew and do one of our various shows, one of them is called The Little Nightmare Music, for example, we have things we perform seriously as well, but many things that it doesn't require laughter, but usually it brings laughter with one. And so the audiences tend to respond much more spontaneously, to clap and
right.
to just, I don't know, it just seems much more of an organic process to go to a concert hall to have a good time, rather than to go there and to either sleep or
mourn the death
of something, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
You're trying to sort of recharacterize classical music in a way. You're actually doing well-known familiar pieces, but you're doing them in ways in which people have never heard them, but it is the beat.
Yeah, we look at different angles of it, for example.
Right.
It's often actually arrangement and often even just our own take on it. And the humor is actually, it's just a byproduct in many ways. So when people come to our performances, we don't just have musical geeks going there like, "Oh, I know, that's an F sharp instead of an F. Oh, very clever." Not
right.
at all. We have kids, people who have no idea about music. So we try to write on different levels, even though in this piece, for example, we do have certain characteristics we change about the piece. The
yes, but it doesn't matter. If you know, we exactly. change it from A minor to A major, and you don't have to know what minor major means. It's so obvious when you hear
right.
it. And of course, we add some visual happy faces or whatever. But it's so clear. This one is minor, kind of a bit sad, down, and the other one is major. And people hear immediately the difference. And I think the people who also don't know about what minor, major is, I think they feel kind of a bit proud of themselves that, oh, I get that. I get that joke. So it's really for everyone.
Yeah, right.
Sorry. Could we play this today in A major?
No. Well, it's Mozart alla Turca in A minor, so you can't really play it in A major because it's in a different key. But
look where we are, man. Yeah. We're at the WGBH studios in Boston.
And?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, here it's like, you know, it's New England. It's all a new energy. It's, you know, the new world and everything. It's everything is much, much higher. It's more positive. And you know what? The feng shui here is A major. Come on, play an A major.
Come on, what is it?
I'm so sorry to do this on radio. Sorry. Look, it's just, it's better. It's better.
Yeah.
But it needs to sound more Oriental. More Turkish, Arabic, Jewish, Hispanic, Indian, Asian, Chinese. Yeah? You know, like yin yang, tai chi, sing tao, ping pong.
I don't think I quite get what.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Your bees.
My bees.
Yeah. Your bees.
My bees.
Your bees.
My bees.
No, the note B.
Okay. Yes.
Which you play.
Yes. What about it? Yes.
It's too high.
Too high.
This is where you feel your bees.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I want you to feel your bees
lower.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Just open your chakra. Just open your chakra. No, your chakra. Here. Just release from within. That's it. Yeah, release.
Okay.
Open. Share yourself. Now, open your mouth wide. Stick your tongue all the way out. That's it. Great. Now, breathe in deep. Breathe out deep. Inhalation deep. Exhalation. Yes. Breathe it in and breathe out. That's great.
I feel sick.
Okay. All right. Okay. Look. Okay. Let's not waste time. Look. Just play B flat instead of B. Okay? B flat. Yeah. Yeah. Always B flat. B flat. Breathe. Exactly which part of B flat do you not understand? B flat! B flat.
that's drawn me to your work is that I love doing comedy with music. But are you ever in the kind of more satirical mode where you actually want to bring down
absolutely.
A style or
absolutely, style. But we don't pinpoint it.
We've for whatever reason we've tried not to pinpoint people because
so we don't mention names. We don't.
Right,
you know,
right.
We won't say we're making fun of this particular person or this particular style or this, but. But we'll still do it, those who get it, and we'll try to write it in such a way that even those who don't know would get it.
And in a way, actually, when in a good parody, one should sometimes have the feeling like, "Wow, that's like really good. That's like, when it's a musical parody, it's like, wow, that's actually beautiful playing."
Yeah, well, remember we were talking last night about Dudley Moore and Beyond the Fringe. I mean, his parodies of Beethoven and Benjamin Britten.
But they're brilliant as well. They're brilliant musically. Yes. I would listen to that as a composition.
Right.
We pay homage, actually, to Dudley Moore as well. In A Little Nightmare Music, we also have a grand finale based on his finale. We take it further.
This unending series of chords.
Exactly. Oh, right,
like
right.
Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Right. The
unending coda.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've actually transcribed that, but for violin and piano, and, you know, made it a lot more physical than what he does, but because that's what we love that music.
Right.
Could you scratch me? Just it's better. A little lower. Just a little lower. Not that low!
Has then such an institution as these great orchestras behind you, then it gives you another power and another stamp of approval in a way. And we think that's a wonderful thing because then the audience feels, okay, well, if this great maestro or orchestra or whatever approves this, then I guess it is okay to laugh in the concert hall and it is okay to be silly.
To make fun of yourself.
Do you have some kind of dream to put your own orchestra together?
Well, it's basically, we've collected 16 musicians from all over the world. And they are superheroes. They are not just super musicians, but they each have at least one super skill. One of them can fly. No, we have like acrobatic violinists. We have a fire-eating violinist. We have a bass player who does flamenco.
Dancing at the same time.
At the same time as singing and playing the double bass.
We have a
beatboxing flutist, etc., etc., etc.
We have some of the violinists are extraordinary dancers and are able to dance and play the violin at the same time. So we thought, how can we have a show that truly reflects all the madness that is inside of our head? So we decided to form the League of Extraordinary Musicians.
The League of Extraordinary Musicians will debut in Vienna. The orchestra sounds like it's going to be a wonderfully subversive addition to the world of concertos, symphonies, and farting bassoons. All there is left to say to Goodisman and Jew is bravissimo! Tony Hendra. We'll be back after this.
Look out! There's more Final Edition Radio Hour!
Tony, we gotta come up with a promo. Our listeners don't know enough about all the great stuff the Final Edition does. Even when we tell them, it's all this, like, blah, 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 dot, 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 www, URL crap. No one gets what that is on radio. They just tune it out.
Well, I have the perfect way to hold their attention while we give them the goods. When I was at the National Lampoon in the 70s, our most famous cover had a cute mutt with a 38 Magnum to its head and the legend, "Buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog."
Yeah, I remember that, but how does that help us? It was a visual image for a magazine.
Meet Freckles.
Oh, Freckles? Oh, there, there. Good boy. What's the matter then?
Also, meet my 38 Magnum.
Jesus Christ, you have a gun? Don't wave that thing around here. Is that thing loaded?
Sure is. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. If you don't stay tuned to this promo while Jeff gives you all the necessary info about our fabulous website and our fabulous YouTube channel and other fabulous stuff we do, I will shoot this dog.
Jesus, man, take the gun out of that defenseless animal's ear.
Uh-uh. Give him a good, Jeff.
Oh, my God, poor Freckles. Okay, fine. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour, you want more of what we do, go to thefinaledition.com. Our radio airs on this network on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 8, as well as Wednesday at midnight. We've also got an album, we've got a Twitter feed, we've got a great YouTube channel, Facebook, everything you can want at thefinaledition.com.
Now, tell them to tap all that into their iPhones or leave themselves an audio memo.
No, I won't. I told them enough, Tony. I'm calling the SPCA.
Tell them, or the dog gets it. I'm cocking the gun right now.
Okay, listeners, please, write this down. Thefinaledition.com. Thefinaledition.com. Go there for everything you want from the Final Edition, or this crazy old British coot is going to plug old Freckles.
Okay, that wasn't so hard, was it? Come here, Freckles, you dumb old chum. Hey, get down! Get down! Get away from me! Get, you crazy cunt!
Good job, Freckles!
Get him!
Sick him! Oh, yeah, this is Jeff Kreiser for the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. 8 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Midnight on Wednesday.
No, Freckles, put that thing down! You don't have opposable thumbs! No!
Final Edition asked the man on the street, what do you think of the threat by an Ohio bartender to poison House Speaker John Boehner?
Well, drinking will kill you.
He didn't ask for a kamikaze.
I slipped something into Boehner's drink, but that's because I want to fuck him.
Hey, thank goodness Boehner has health care.
Right on, man.
Suddenly I feel like crying.
How can you poison Boehner? He is poison.
In the end, he just compromised and peed in it.
It's probably the first poison pill Boehner didn't work into a piece of legislation. Do you see what I'm saying? Because
trouble is, being dead in Cleveland is redundant.
Now, Jim Earle reads another future obituary from another real dead person who is not yet dead.
Camille Cosby, lead accountant at Cosby Enterprises, Inc. Camille Cosby, one of the few select females ever allowed to naturally fall asleep around her husband, is dead after collapsing face down in a bowl of pudding, drowning in a sea of jello lies. When reached for comment, her husband could only utter a half-hearted, "Hey, hey, hey," before blurting out a final, "Grisamaza, ha, 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 ha." Camille Olivia Hanks first met William Cosby in 1963 on a blind date, blind because she blacked out after the first 10 minutes. The two married less than a year later. Back then it was a simpler time, she later recalled, when the only way you could drug a woman was to apply a homeopathic blister of cantharides and cataplasms to her feet, perhaps supplemented by wheat poultices upon the neck along with a hot tonic mixture of molasses, butter, and vinegar, quickly followed up with a vinegar and sage tea for gargling, or more commonly, a tartar emetic. Just like her husband's first sitcom, The Bill Cosby Show, their 50-year marriage was unique among celebrity relationships, as it did not use a laugh track, although Vic Tayback did star as Calvin the Mechanic. The deceased leaves behind more than 20 of her husband's accusers who, quote, had been given a pass and weren't properly vetted. Hey, hey, hey!
Welcome to It's in the Constitution, where experts tell us things you never knew were guaranteed by the Founding Fathers. My guests are Reverend Scott Maddox from the First Evangelical Church of Tax-Exempt Activists.
Ah.
Leon Koons from the Santa Cruz Atheist Vegan Collective.
Thanks for having me.
And Mark Lakewood, a man from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, who's mad at his girlfriend.
Great to be here.
We'll start with Reverend Maddox. What have you found for us this week in the Constitution?
Well, as I long expected, it turns out Christianity is America's official religion.
But the First Amendment says we don't have an official religion.
No, but the dollar says, "In God we trust," which is Christianity.
Well...
And everything on our money is in the Constitution, including numbers and Lincoln's picture.
You also say the section giving Congress the power to provide the common defense has a no-homo clause.
Actually, I'm finding that everywhere. For instance, the president shall have power to fill up all vacancies that may happen during the recess of the Senate. No homo.
By the way, I forget, does the Constitution also recommend tax breaks for the richest 1%?
No, that's in the Bible.
Oh, right. Now, Leon, what have you and the goddess worshippers found for us?
Well, as you know, courts often debate how much power goes to the federal government and how much goes to the states.
And you've worked that out?
Yes. It turns out the Constitution vests power with the federal government on every single issue, except gay marriage and medical pot.
I see.
James Madison also said health insurance has to pay for condoms.
Okay. And finally, Mark, what did you find?
Well, according to the Constitution, if a guy wants to go to a party and his girlfriend does not want to go to that party, they have to go if the guy already went with her to some improvised movement theater thing.
The Constitution specifically mentions improvised movement theater?
Yes, and Nordstrom's.
We have a call. Hello, you're on the air with It's in the Constitution.
Hi, this is Lana. Tell Mark I found something in the Constitution, too. If a guy wants to go to a party to play video games and forget what time it is, and his girlfriend has to get up early, then Congress shall allow an exception to the improvised movement theater provision.
No homo.
Also, you're late for dinner.
I am.
Well, that's it for us
dinner.
Here on It's in the Constitution. Like be with us next affair. Week yeah, when we find out we're supposed to be able to smoke in airplanes.
The 14th Amendment guarantees that you not be a bitch, at least like once a week.
The 15th Amendment says get your ass home now or you're not getting laid for 2 weeks.
I've read the 15th Amendment. That is not in there.
And if you're not home in 2 hours, the 16th Amendment will be that all of your stuff is going to be on the front lawn.
Well, now you're just making stuff up.
For the Final Edition Radio Hour, Will Durst here with a few choice words about satire, the definition of which is to say one thing but intend the opposite. like Jonathan Swift advocating serving Irish babies for dinner, or the CIA saying, we don't torture anybody, when what they really meant is, yeah, we've been torturing people since way before we assured you that we weren't. Not only that, we've gotten really good at it. You could say the CIA is America's only straight-up satirical organization. We're all thinking of humor these days because of two things. One, the Seth Rogen stoner movie, The Interview, about assassinating the president of North Korea, which you could say sort of upset the president of North Korea. You could also say armadillo snouts making for your shot glasses. North Korea was so upset, they orchestrated a monumental hack of the studio that released the film, doing much damage to the economy and scaring the bejesus out of corporate America. We know this happened because the CIA said it didn't. Additional collateral damage occurred when many Americans were tricked into actually watching the movie. Laugh or the terrorists win. Then, in January, the grisly murders at the offices of Charlie Hebdo, the French satirical magazine, which confuses many Americans. France has satirical magazines. We have NASCAR. It's a trade-off. One problem is, in America, you call yourself a satirist, and everyone thinks that you have goat legs and play a pan flute. Our satirists work mostly on television. Stephen Colbert's old show was satirical. He played an obnoxious, overbearing character that didn't believe a single word he said. Like Sean Hannity, only different. Political humor can be a very dangerous weapon, as evidenced by how it's recently rocked the world. Despots and extremists have the sense of humor of asphalt, with the emphasis on the first syllable. So it is imperative that artists continue to mock and scoff and taunt, and that patriots everywhere support those perpetrating the mockage and scoffsome taunterating, and to do it even after the CIA says we don't need to do it anymore, especially then. For the Final Edition Radio Hour, I'm Will Durst.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earl, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Rob Miller, David Eskridge, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The show is written at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earl, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Leslie Shapira, Jeremy Rayburn, Kate Knowles, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hendra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast production by Barry Lank. Audio editing and production by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.